The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain-free Friday. Farrell's doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up 100, 200... It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the best seat, a broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny's rolling me up a bunch of spliffs because I'm going golfing in the morning with 34Z and her hot friend. Check out people dressing putts and bags or rich and driving some kind of fashion. Shake it up. All my friends that come around, flats a party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. This town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Shoot me. Check out. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with your boy Mafia tonight. And the guy with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle. The Canucks just had a power play but couldn't score on Vegas. And the Knights trying to get the puck out of their own end, having problems again tonight with Vancouver as the game is scoreless. Game 7 in Edmonton between these two. The winner goes to the Western Conference Final where they'll meet the Dallas Stars, who won today in overtime. They beat Colorado 5-4 in a wild game. It was 3-2 Rotto. Then it was 3-3. Then it was 4-3 Rotto. Then it was 4-4. And then it was 5-4. And that was all she wrote. So Dallas moves on. They'll meet the winner of this game. And then tonight already, the Miami Heat disposed of the Milwaukee Bucks. Overrated. Down 3-0 now to the Heat after they took over the game in the fourth quarter and blew them out by 15. Jimmy Butler went off. I'm sick of hearing about Giannis. He didn't do jack with his little 21 spot. You can have it. We'll talk about it all tonight on the bench.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pearl on the bench. So at the beginning of the fourth quarter, right, it was, to me, it was just absolutely unbelievable. I'm sitting there watching this game, and at the beginning of the fourth, it was 87-75, and the Bucks were in control of the game. They had the game. I mean, they were up 12. And then Hero makes a three from Crowder. It was 87-78. They were down. Giannis makes a alley-oop dunk. They're up 89-78. Nunn makes a J. It's 89-80. DiVincenzo makes a dunk. It's 91-80. They're still up 11. Go down a little bit. Adebayo makes a free throw. They're down 10. Adebayo makes another free throw. They're down 9. Jimmy Butler makes a tip shot. They're down 91-84. Dragic makes a 24-foot three from Hero. They're down 91-87. So they're within four. Marvin Williams makes a 6-foot shot, 93-87 Bucks. Butler makes a tech, 93-88. Jimmy Butler makes a free throw, one of two. It's 93-89. Butler goes to the line again. They're down 3, 93-90. Butler makes a 3-foot dunk, 93-92. Hero assists on that one. Butler makes a free throw. It's 93 apiece. Butler makes another free throw. It's 94-93. The Heat have the lead finally with 6:16 left in the game, right? So then Butler makes an alley-oop layup from Iguodala, 96-93 Heat. Hill makes a layup, 96-95 Heat. Adebayo makes a dunk, 98-95 Heat. Hill makes a layup, 98-97 Heat. Go down a little bit. Freak makes a dunk, 99-98 Bucks. Adebayo, a hook shot, 199 Heat. Go down further. Butler makes a free throw, 101-99 Heat. Then Butler makes another free throw. It's 102-99. Now remember, when it's 102-99 with 4 minutes left, right? 4 minutes left. They literally had a Bledsoe free throw with 2:49 left. That was the last time they scored, the Bucks. I mean, they melted down like a ice cream cone. After that, it was all over. Crowder makes a three from Butler. They're up 107-100. Crowder makes free throws. It's 108-100. He makes another one. It's 109-100. Butler makes free throws. 1, 2. It's 111-100. Adebayo makes a free throw. It's 112. He makes another one. It's 113. He makes another one. It's 114. He makes another one. It's 115. 115-100. I mean, at 4 minutes in, they scored 1 point. And let's just get real here for a second. They're done. They're done. The Heat own them. They have a penthouse suite in their head. They've got, and they're renting it at $50 million a month. Penthouse. I mean, they're penthouse. They're set up shop up in their head. It's over. Done. First of all, they can't beat them. They're 5-1 against them, right? Just for the season. They're 3-0 against them in this Eastern semi. They had the game won. They were up 12 in the start of the fourth quarter. They scored like, I don't even know what it was. At one point, it was 32-15 or something in points. They doubled them. They doubled them in the fourth. They obliterated them. They got inside their heads. I mean, they literally slept with their girlfriends. Boom. Game over. Series over. They scored 13 points in the fourth. In the fourth quarter, the Bucks scored 13 points. They're the number one seed. They had the best record in the NBA. They are posers. Posers. I repeat, posers. They are frauds. That's it. They're frauds. They are. This happened last year, right? But not as bad as this year. At least last year they were in games. I mean, this year they're just getting worked by the five-seeded Heat. The Heat are killing them on both ends of the floor. Defensively, forget about it. Defensively, I mean, I've never seen anything like it, what they did to clamp down on them. I mean, they clamped down on them like nobody's business. That was embarrassing. Now, look, 21-16 for Giannis. All I heard about all night was that he had an ankle tweak. They just kept giving him just excuse after excuse. I mean, Reggie Miller, whoever it was, doing the game, it was just all night long talking about how he's grimacing in pain. He's you know, there's something wrong with him. And then they said that, what did they, I can't remember the word they used. Look at their body. What is it? What did they say, Mavi? Like their, look, yeah, the body language. They kept talking about the body language. Body language? Ankles? What? I mean, what is that body like? What is body language? Here's the deal. Do you know why their body language was so bad? Because they were bent over by the Heat. Bent over. Spanked and called Charlie. Body language is when you are a quitter. They were quitters is what they were in the fourth quarter. They got beat up, shut down, outworked, out-deed, out-offensed, out-rebounded. Out, I mean, literally, it went to the line. I mean, he went to the line so many times because the Bucks fouled them. It wasn't because they were the refs were on the take, which they usually are. The refs are usually screwing these games up, right? So I thought they screwed up the last game badly. The last game, game two, was terrible. Game three, they didn't do anything wrong. They just called fouls left and right because that's what the Bucks were doing. They were fouling them left and right. And then how about this one? Butler shot a three on the wing so bad, he missed everything. It hit the other side of the backboard. It hit the other side of the rim. So he shot it from the left. It landed on the glass on the right side past the rim. He got the rebound. That's how bad the Bucks played. They let a guy 25 feet away miss a three, run in, get the rebound, and get fouled and go to the line. He missed. He airballed a three, got his own rebound on the other side of the glass against like the defensive player of the year and the MVP, reigning MVP. They can't, and they got Brooks Lopez in there too. They got 2 7-footers, and they can't get a rebound from a little guy, Jimmy Butler. I mean, that's all you need to know. He got his own rebound on an airball three. The guy ran in 25 feet, got his own rebound. Who's hustling? Who's playing hard? Who's making plays? Jimmy Butler, that's who. Who did nothing in the game? They just kept giving excuses for Giannis. There's something wrong with him. You know what's wrong with him? The heater, what's wrong with him? 21-16, that's a nice game for anyone. That's a terrible game for him. If he's not having 35-40, they're not winning. You know why? Because the rest of that team sucks. I don't care what anybody says. Because all they do, like Hill had 13. Middleton had 18. And that's it. Like Middleton shot 7 of 16, 2 threes. He had 3 rebounds. I think his game is average at best. I'm so bored with watching Middleton play? Honestly, like, let's face facts. What does he do special? What's so special about Middleton? Besides, I don't know, nothing. I mean, let's just face it. Like, everyone in Milwaukee needs to roll one up, have a beer, go blame your mother or somebody else. Don't blame me that your team sucks. Don't blame me that here we go again for the second straight year talking about how bunk ass your team is. Don't blame me. I got nothing to do with it. I know you guys don't like me with my gravelly voice and everything else, but the reality is you suck. Your team sucks. You know it. Have a beer. Smoke a fatty. Go talk to your girlfriend or something, because your season's over.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell and Avench. Later, we have John DeSilva on talking about the Kentucky Derby. You may have seen him on Coast to Coast today. If not, he'll fill you up with some great bets for the Derby tomorrow. Believe it or not, remember, the Derby's usually the first Saturday in May or whatever. And now it's Labor Day weekend because of the COVID. And then we're going to talk to our guy out at KNX. In Los Angeles, Randy Cardoon. Thank God for Mafia. I lose track of everyone's names and everything else. I'm a mess. There's been a lot of lost years, bad years of physical and mental abuse of my mind and body. I need to be led like a stray dog to water. I need to be led to the to the water and food. Little salmon dinner for the dog. The dog needs to be fed to mentally stay with it. I'm worse than Biden. They say he's lost his mind already and that he's going to try to run the country and be president. If he wins the election, he would be the first, I guess. What do they say in Mafia? That he's senile? I mean, that's what they're saying about him. That Mafia is telling people I'm senile. There you go. So
the
way
Trump runs it, it seems like he's senile, even though he claims he's not. So who knows? What's the difference? Yeah,
he's more than that. Anyway, so I'm playing golf tomorrow morning with 34C. And she's never, well, first of all, she never golfed. I've never gone golfing with her ever, right? So I usually play basketball on Saturdays in the hood. Every Saturday I play ball. But I got invited to go play at this fancy golf club with her friends. And I suppose, my friends too, I know them. So I know these people and they're doctor friends of mine. And so I was gonna, let's just be honest, I wasn't gonna play. I was just like, yeah, I don't know. I think I'd rather play basketball. Cause you know, I like them and everything. It's not that, it's just that like when I go golfing with my buddies, it's generally, let's say just more liberal, if you will, in terms of there's a lot of bad things going on the golf course, cheating, smoking.
Well, you go public courses. You're not a private course guy.
I'm not really the private course guy. Although I played with High Heat at the Field Club, and I'm going to this fancy golf club tomorrow, high end members only. You got to wear clothes and everything else. You can't dress like a bum. Where on the public courses that I go on, I can be a total basketball shorts and a t-shirt. It doesn't matter. They don't care. But here you have to wear a dress code and all the rest. So I'm going, 34C is going to go and she's going to, I guess, I'm assuming drive with a chick around in the golf cart, and then I'm going to drive with this dude in the golf cart, and I'm sure there'll be some things going on the golf course there too, but it'll certainly have to be more discreet, if you know what I'm saying. And then on the public course, like the other day I was playing on a public course, and I was like, I had to go to the bathroom really bad, so I just went like right in the middle of like right off the tee box. Like I was in these like high grass, like whatever you call them, like like high weeds, whatever. They were really tall, like weeds. And I went in there and went to the bathroom. I wouldn't do that at the fancy club, right? So I'm sitting in there in the weeds, and I see like people driving by. I see people like 10 feet away from me walking by with their golf cart, pulling their clubs, walking by. I'm standing in the weeds with my pants down. You don't do that at the fancy club. At the public course, you bring your cooler filled with beer, and you know, you're not allowed to do that at the fancy club. At the fancy club, they got the chick with the cart and the hot dogs and the crackers and all the beer and scotch and you know, Gatorades and everything like that. At the public course, they don't have anything. And in fact, they're mad at the public course if you even bring a cooler. But I sneak a cooler on everywhere I go if I go public. But I don't. You know, I don't know. These people golf all the time. They're obsessed with golfing. Okay. I just like going golfing. I can hit a golf ball, but I don't like even, scoring. I mean, I can score when I play these public courses, they're easy for me, but when I play these really hard, fancy clubs, they're a lot harder. So, they're longer, they're tougher. The greens are harder, faster, everything about it's tougher. So what I do is typically if I play on those courses, I'd rather not score. I'd rather just play and not get mad. Right. Cause when I play on a public course, I can shoot low because the courses are short and they're easy. And they're not hard, and I hit big. So if I hit it big and long, I can score on any short course, any, you know, easy public golf course. I can pretty much, I can keep it in the sevens, and I can go low eight. I went 80, 82 my last two rounds, but I won't do that tomorrow at all. So I'm not even going to score based up. They can score for me. I don't care. But if I get all involved in scoring, I get mad. I don't enjoy myself. I don't have fun. Like if I have a bogey, I get mad for like half an hour. I don't just wash it off after the bogey and go to the next hole. I'm mad for like five more holes. And then, you know, I get another bogey, maybe a double, and then the day's over and I want to go home. I'm miserable. So I try to just, when I go now with this, like 34C is going to be there. I don't want to cause a scene or anything ever. So I'm just going to try to have fun and hit some big balls. Just hit some big shots. That's it. I'm going to try to hit. You know, I play the game so much different now, Mafia, than when I even played with you. I played with Mafia a lot in the days, Vegas, wherever. Mm-hmm. But I used to hit drivers and three woods and all that stuff. I don't even do that anymore because, you know, I'm so wild with it. I can hit a driver 275 yards, but I don't know where it's going. It may go left. It may go right. It may go out of bounds. It may go in a lake. But I have no control over, like, dynamic control over where it's going to go, right? So I stopped doing it. I just stopped hitting those wild tee shots. I just hit a long iron. I'll hit like a 3-iron, or I'll hit a hybrid off the tee, and I'll just put it in the fairway. And then I go long iron again on the second shot, or hybrid again on the second shot. And I'm still right where I need to be, you know, trying to go up and down from there. The third shot in, right? A wedge or a 9-iron in, I'm pretty good with. And then I'll either sink the putt or I won't, right? And then I'll either get a par or a bogey. I don't really play birdie golf anymore. I mean, I've had some birdies, but mostly when I'm lucky, I have birdies. Back in the day when I was a 6 handicap living in California, I birdied holes all the time because I hit driver and I hit big. But I don't do it anymore because I don't have any control over my driver because I don't play enough. But lately I've been playing like once a week. And so if I play once or twice a week, I can obviously hit the ball a lot better. It's like anything else. If you play basketball every day, you can shoot. If you don't play basketball ever, you can't shoot. It's that simple. Like, Mafia, you haven't played basketball in like 6-7 months. You know, I guarantee if you go out, your shot would be all whacked. And then if you don't play golf, same thing. You're just not going to do well. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
I mean, some people go out the first time they haven't played golf in 5 years and they'll have a nice day and they'll hit the ball pretty well. And they'll be like, man, this is awesome. I got to start playing golf again. I think I'm going to go out and play once a week. And then they go out the next time they play and they shoot a buck 20 because they haven't played and they think they can play by never playing. And it just doesn't work that way. Golf, you have to play all the time to be good. It's that simple. You cannot just pick it up once a month or once every 3 months and be good. It's that simple. You can't do it. Anyway, that's what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm not playing basketball. I'm playing golf at 34C. Do you think I'll get action on the golf course, Mavi, in terms of, do you think I'll get any action at the turn or anything? Do you think I could get lucky in like the, you know, maybe the.
Well, considering you already said that you're probably going to end up riding with your boy Pete and the ladies are going to be riding together, I think it'd be pretty awkward if you did.
Well, what if, you know, maybe halfway there's a situation where she is.
A little rendezvous. You know,
yeah, a little rendezvous 86, like a little, she might switch carts or something and get a little action in. I doubt.
I'm going to say that's doubtful given the stuffiness of the club you're going to be at. Maybe it's on true. The public course, you get away with that.
I am there. We're eating there as well. A very fancy day. Lunch and around, perhaps. Would you like a cosmopolitan with your salmon salad, Mr. Varel? No, thank you. So gaudy. Mm-hmm. Hush, hush. Anyway, 63-59 Rockets lead the Lakers. You know what's amazing about the game? And a bucket by Gordon, no foul. No foul. What are they calling there? Oh, I don't understand what that call is. What's that call? Is that basket not count? Well, I got to see what this call is. Is that not, that's just an uncontested layup. What's the problem? Vancouver's going on a 5 minute major power play in the second with scoreless 3:30 left in the second, no score, game seven, going on a 5 minute power play. And then there you go. So this is the door opening for the Vancouver Canucks to take the lead in game seven against Vegas.
Yeah, is this, same thing all over from last year for Vegas? The five-minute power play in Game 7 that cost them the game?
Yeah. Oh, and what are they doing? Throwing Reeves out of the game. I think that's what they're doing there. Oh, there it is. Five-minute major, cheap shot on Reeves. He's getting thrown out of the game. That's definitely a cheap shot by this guy. That was a complete dirty, cheap shot. Suspension, fine coming. He tried to take the guy's head off. They're showing him having a temper tantrum in the alleyway back to the locker room. He's finished. He's going to get suspended and fined for that. If they win this game, he will not play in at least several games of the next round because that was the cheapest shot I've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. All right, so end of the period there. And so I don't know how much time they have left on the five-minute major on Reeves. He's going to get suspended either. Mavi said it best. He's either, if they win tonight, he'll get two or three games. If they lose tonight, he'll get 5, 7, 10 games starting next season with the cheap shot he just laid in that game. You know what that shot is? It really is the stupidity of Ryan Reeves. And that's all there is to it. That's just a flat out, that's an ignorant, stupid, dumb, meaningless, worthless decision to hurt someone. That is such a dumb move by him in a game seven to put his team down, a 5 minute major and a game misconduct. He's thrown out of the game. It is such a stupid penalty. If they lose, you can blame your entire season on Ryan Reeves' stupid hit, cheap shot, trying to kill someone on the ice in a game seven. I mean, is it not the dumbest thing you've ever seen? Like, you don't want penalties in a game seven. You don't want to be shorthanded. You don't want to be in the penalty box in a game seven. It'll cost you the series. And I think that, like, so far they haven't scored, so you can't call it the game changer yet. But they still, Mafia, have at least 2 or 3 minutes left on that power play.
I think they're going to have about 90 seconds when they get back to the, because at 16:30 into the period, so 3.5 minutes have passed by. So, but, you know, like you said, especially it's one thing to get a penalty. It's another thing to get a major penalty. That 5 minutes, score as much as you can. I mean, they're lucky they're not down 2 goals after, you know, that 3.5 minutes. You know, that's exactly what burned them last year in that game against the Sharks where they were up. And they took the 5 minute major that was, you know, pretty questionable. We thought it was all a terrible call last year, but they got 5 minutes and they scored a bunch of goals and all of a sudden they lost and they were out. So it's one thing to take a dumb penalty. It's another thing to take a 5 minute dumb penalty that gets you tossed and put your team on the penalty killers. And now you're drained for the third period. You know, you're already gassed enough in a game 7 third period, let alone the guys that have been out there kindling the penalty for 5 minutes.
This guy, Thatcher Demko, played at Boston College. He's the goalie that's doing this to them. And all I know is that he has shut them out for, like, literally the last, like, 90 shots. They have not been able to solve this guy once. They shut him out 4-0 in game 6. And now game 7, they've got nothing on the board. And game 6, they had, like, 50-some shots. And then tonight, they're rattling in with tons of shots again, and none of them are going in. Bottom line is, one guy, a goalie, can be the difference in stopping a team that's better than you. The Vegas Golden Knights are better than the Vancouver Canucks, hands down. Better team, hands down. But because this goalie is so hot, absolutely so on fire, that they might very well win because of him. That's why they'll have won the series. It'll be because of him. One of the things I wanted to mention is this, is that I'm watching the Rocket game all night, and I just wanted to point one thing out. You know, I think ESPN's calling the game, right? And I don't even care who's calling the game, but they have just been on their knees for LeBron James, like, since it started. I mean, the entire broadcast is about LeBron James, right? And fair enough. He's a legend. I get all that. I'm down. He's an awesome player. I love his game. He's a monster. No one can stop him. But it's amazing to me to point it out. This is what I notice. Okay. So the entire broadcast is about LeBron. He had a dunk on, I think it was on Westbrook. It was. Westbrook tried to take a charge, and LeBron had this monster tomahawk dunk in the lane on a basically on a bounce pass that he caught at the free throw line and just went thunder dunk on Westbrook. And Westbrook tried to take the charge, but he didn't get the call. He got the body and one with the dunk. And they talked about it for, you know, 7 minutes, this dunk. And they showed the bench for 2-3 minutes of their reaction. It was all about LeBron. LeBron, 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 LeBron. And then the point I'm trying to make is that they were never winning the game. They were never winning. The Rockets were winning the game. Harden was unstoppable. Westbrook kept getting to the rim and getting fouled. Tucker was hitting threes. The bottom line is everyone on that team, Covington was hitting threes, having steals. House, everybody was playing well, Gordon, all of them, and the Rockets were winning the game. They couldn't shake them. It wasn't like the Rockets could shake them, right, and get away from the Lakers, but they had like a, you know, 4 or 5 point lead, 3 point lead, 1 point lead, 4 point lead, 5 point lead. It was just, they were constantly going back and forth. They couldn't shake them. They couldn't get rid of them. The Lakers are too good, right? But they were leading the game the whole time. The whole time they were leading the game. Meanwhile, the guys on ESPN, all they talk about is LeBron James. This other team's they're beating him, and they're winning the game. Harden's getting to the rim, scoring left and right. Jeff Green's hitting floaters. Westbrook's hitting floaters. Harden's scoring left and right. And they didn't talk about it at all. All they talked about is LeBron James. I mean, it is like a lot. LeBron, you'd think it was his birthday. I mean, it was. You would think that he was getting into the Hall of Fame tonight. That they were literally doing. It was a LeBron James broadcast. That was it. Dedicated solely to LeBron's career. It was like his last game. That's how it was. Like it was like Kobe's last game, the Mamba night. I mean, it really was, because I'm sitting here. You can't even deny it. Like, I watched the game. Don't kid yourself. I know what I'm talking about. They literally talked about LeBron James for the entire first half as they never led. They never led. I think they led 2-0. That was it. I mean, literally. I mean, they might have led more than that. Like, at the beginning of the game, I could actually tell you what they, you know, led by, right? But it's just unbelievable to me. I got to do the play, but I got to go back to the first. I got to go back to the first. Is that possible to do? I think it is. Here we go. Beginning of the game, Lakers up. Okay. So I guess at one point, end of the first, the Lakers led, or they were down 29-28. But at the beginning of the game, the Lakers led 2-0, 4-0, 7-2, 7-5, 9-5, 12-7. You know, then it was 12-12, and after 14-12, the Lakers led, and then after that, 16-15, they led, and then they never led again. They never led again. That's it. They never led again. So at the end, it was 29-28 Rockets. But you know, by second quarter, okay, you go to the second quarter, and at the end of the second quarter, the Rockets led 63-55, and they never. I don't believe at one point it was 54-53. At one point it was 52 apiece. But they never led in the second quarter. Meanwhile, the entire game, the first half, it was LeBron TV. Oh my God. I couldn't even take it. It was so bad. Like, do you not realize when you're calling the game, you're the play-by-play and the analyst that the other team's winning? Do not ever say, you know, we really are doing a porno here for LeBron. Maybe we should just talk about the other team that's winning. maybe we should talk about the fact that they're stopping them and they're out rebounding them and they're scoring and they're leading them and they're winning and they're up and they've been up since it was 12 all. I mean, honestly, Mafia, you can't even deny it. Like, it's annoying. It's just so unbelievable that they just ignore the fact that they were losing the game to this small ball team, and all they talked about is LeBron's greatness because he had a dunk. I mean, it's embarrassing. If I were the guy running that network, I'd be like, do you guys not? I would be on the phone to the press room. Do you not realize they're losing the game? That they're losing the G-damn game? Are you guys going to call the game that they're losing, or are you just going to go down like this is some kind of porno? Like, this is unbelievable. I was sitting there going, what game are you watching? It makes me sick to my stomach. I can't even take it anymore where the whole thing is about him.
I mean, that's how they always run it. They've always, like, picked their guys. Like you said, in the first game, they're all about Giannis. Oh, look at Giannis. He's hurt. He's doing so great. Meanwhile, they're losing. They're down 3-0 now. You know, like, LeBron, they're always going to find their guys that they just, like, that's the guy they're riding the whole game. That's the guy they're talking about the whole game. And either they're going to talk about how great he's doing or how bad he's doing, but no one else on the court exists. And they do the same thing with football. You know, it's all about Tom Brady. It doesn't matter if the other team has him down by 40. Tom Brady's on the other side, and he's the one that matters.
So I get it. Like, they could still win this game easily. It's a 5-point Rocket lead right now with just under 4 minutes left in the third. Tons of time for LeBron to win the game. And then they'll talk about him some more. You know, if he wins the game, they'll talk about him some more, and it'll all be for naught and all be stupid. And everyone could say Pharrell doesn't know what he's talking about. Pharrell is crazy and this and that. But I watched the entire first half, and they literally, I mean, they never mentioned any, the Rockets aren't even playing in the game. It was just LeBron TV for the whole first half. I mean, I was just sitting there going like, oh my God, it was so bad. I had to turn the hockey game on. I just can't even take it. It's just, it's so embarrassing. It really is. It's like, I mean, there were guys on the Lakers performing. Pope hit a couple of big threes. Caruso, who I think is trash, he actually had a couple of big buckets. I'll give him credit. He had early, he came in and injected like 7 points. So, I mean, he was playing pretty solid. I just want to go look at the box now, at the very least, for, you know, how some of them are doing, right? So in this game, Harden's got 31. Eric Gordon, 12. Westbrook, 11. That's it. Nobody else doing jack. Davis and James, 17 apiece. What?
Every time Harden touches the ball, they're throwing a double team trap at him and try to get the ball out of his hands now.
Well, that's because he's lighting him up.
Selling out.
It's because he's lighting him up. And then here's on the other side, Davis has 19, LeBron 17, Danny Green has 10, and then Caruso has 9. So I saw him have 7, and then he had 2 since then. So he came out and hit a 3. I saw him hit the 3, and then he's 2 of 5 from the floor. So I know he got fouled and made 2 free throws. So he hit a 2. And then got a free throw, hit another free throw. That's 4. And then he hit a 3. And then he's had a bucket since then. So I think those must have been free throws as well, because he's only hit 2 J's in the game. So, but they only talk about LeBron. I mean, Anthony Davis has 19 and 9, but LeBron's got 17, 6 and 6. Listen, I won't deny, I love LeBron's game. He's insane. It's just incredible. His career is just, it's sickening what he's done. There's no denying it. But I just can't take it when he's doing well, but he's not winning. He's not winning the game. The other team's winning the game. You have to sit there and in the moment, I believe, and be like, this is crazy. This small ball, it's working. They're beating them. They're up. They're winning. And it doesn't matter if he has a dunk. They're down 5. I mean, like, they're not winning the game. Why are we spending the whole broadcast talking about this guy when the other team's actually, like, working on a gem, working on an upset? I mean, they could still lose the game. I get it. But I'm just talking about the first half, right? So I'm on the air now. I can't listen. Thank God I can't listen. I want to kill myself listening to these two. But here's the deal. I think it's like, whatever. I don't even care. I think Mark Jackson's doing the game or something like that, and some other guy. But it was really annoying to me. All right, so Pharrell and a bench. It's 843-6879 to get on the bench. So just so you know, PharrellOnTheBench.com is where all my picks are every day, 7 days a week, 365. All the baseball plays, all the Stanley Cup, all the NBA playoffs, everything. College football for Saturday and Monday, I put up those. Those will be up for tomorrow. And then the UFC fight night will be up for tomorrow. Mafia's fight night picks. Check it out. PharrellOnTheBench.com. I think you'll dig it. Hide the money from your wife. It's nothing. It's a joke, the price. It's a joke. I'm the Walmart of handicapping. People love it. The price is so ridiculous. People are like, man, that guy makes me tons of money, and all I have to pay is this much? You got to be kidding me. I spend more on my gas in my car. That's right, because we're doing people up. That's what we do. We do people up. We don't screw people. We do them up. It's a beautiful thing. So here we go. 78-76 Rockets. A minute left in the third. They're trying to upset the Lakers. And Rivers with the and one. The drive and the bucket and the foul. Doc's kid getting involved. Rockets up 4. So this guy... Margaret Thatcher Demko. Mavi, what'd you say it is? Shots 20-something to 6 after 2 periods?
21-6.
So the Canucks have 6 shots in the entire game.
So far, yes.
That's embarrassing. And imagine if they win. What if they have 4 more? What if they are held under 10 shots and win the game? I've never heard of that. I don't think I've ever heard of that in my life. A team shooting 6 shots through 2 periods. That's unbelievable. So in the second hour, John DeSilva, Randy Dune on a bench.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.